Hearty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Let's stand up and give a Sunny Side of Sports salute to the Foxes of Leicester City, who are on the verge of a fairy tale finish in the English Premier League football. Last year at about this time, the Foxes were near the bottom of the league, only barely escaping relegation. Now these feisty Foxes are on the brink of clinching the championship of the most popular soccer league in the world. All Leicester needs to do now is win one of its last two matches, or Tottenham to lose one of its final three, to become perhaps the most unlikely champion in Premier League history. At the beginning of this season, British bookmakers were offering 5,000-1 odds of Leicester winning the title. On Sunday, thousands of Leicester fans packed the city's pubs and cafes to see if the Foxes could clinch the trophy with a victory at Manchester United. Alas, the teams drew 1-1 at Old Trafford in a game one Leicester fan described as not good for your nervous system. So the big party is still on hold in Leicester City. But the big bash could come later Monday evening if Chelsea beats visiting Tottenham at Stamford Bridge. Meanwhile, let's give another Sunny Side of Sports salute to a couple of African players in the Premier League, Andre Ayew and Sadio Mane, who were certified goal poachers on Sunday. Ayew, one of the sons of Ghanaian football great Abedi Pele, scored two goals for host Swansea City in a 3-1 victory over Liverpool. With the win, the Swans of Swansea confirmed their place in the Premier League next season. And Senegalese footballer Sadio Mane scored a hat trick for the Saints of Southampton in a 4-2 victory over Manchester City. Taking a quick look at the EPL goal-scoring leaders, Harry Kane of Tottenham is at the top with 24 goals. Sergio Aguero of Manchester City has 23 goals. And Jamie Vardy of Leicester City has 22 goals. The top African goal scorers in the Premier League are the Algerian Riyad Mahrez of Leicester, who has 17 goals, and the Nigerian Odion Ighalo of Watford, who has 14 goals. In more Premier League news, Jamie Vardy has been named the Player of the Year by the league's football writers. The Leicester City striker won 36% of the votes from the football writers to finish ahead of his teammates Riyad Mahrez and N'Golo Kanté. The 29-year-old Vardy is the first player from Leicester to win the prestigious award, which he'll receive from former Foxes striker Gary Lineker on May 12th. In total, 7 Leicester players were nominated. Vardy and Mahrez have formed a dynamic strike partnership for the Foxes during their Cinderella season. Last month, Mahrez won the Professional Footballers Association Award, voted on by fellow footballers as best player. Lots to celebrate this season for the Foxes of Leicester City.
Voice of America, VOA.
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Yes, my friend.
Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help us every day. It will brighten all the way. It will keep on the sunny side of life.
Voice of America, VOA, Washington.
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
They're playing basketball without that basketball.
The National Basketball Association playoffs continue later Monday night with second-round games in Cleveland, Ohio, and San Antonio, Texas. In Cleveland, LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers will host the Atlanta Hawks in Game 1 of their Eastern Conference semifinal series. Remember, VOA basketball fans, all of the series in the NBA playoffs are best of seven games, so the first team to win four games advances. In Monday night's second game, the five-time champion San Antonio Spurs are at home against the Oklahoma City Thunder. The Spurs spanked the Thunder 124-92 in the opener over the weekend. LaMarcus Aldridge was the big man for the Spurs in Game 1. He scored 38 points. Serge Ibaka, the pride of Brazzaville, Congo, led the Thunder in Game 1 with 19 points. In NBA playoff action Sunday, the Toronto Raptors and the Miami Heat both advanced to the second round with victories. The Raptors beat the visiting Indiana Pacers 89-84 to win the series 4-3. Toronto will play Miami in the second round. The Heat scorched the Charlotte Hornets on Sunday 106-73 to win that series 4-3. Miami's Slovenian guard Goran Dragic scored 25 points for the Heat, while his backcourt partner Dwayne Wade added 12 points. Talk to us, D-Wade.
This team, you know, it's been all season. We've had opportunities to cave, and every time we've been in that situation, we've somehow prevailed. And I'm proud of this team, and I knew tonight would be a great moment for these guys. You know, I felt that we was going to win this game. I knew that our energy and our crowd was going to be enough, and we was going to be prepared. And I was just thinking about how these guys are going to feel after playing in the Game 7.
D. Wade, what did you think of Dragic's performance in Game 7?
Man, that's the Goran Dragic we all love. I mean, just putting so much pressure on the defense, and it allows other guys to just chill out. and especially me, it gives me a chance to get off the ball and rest it in when I'm needed, do my job. So, you know, we want Goran to understand that when he's playing that special for us, that we're a tough, tough team to beat.
Dwayne Wade and the Miami Heat have endured their share of adversity this season. Miami lost Chris Bosh at the All-Star break to a blood clot for a second consecutive year. With the All-Star Bosh out, the Heat had to change its style of play significantly. Miami also dealt with injuries and saw assistant coach Keith Smart have cancer treatment that took him away from the team. Dwayne Wade reflects on Chris Bosh and how the team has come together.
We've just continued to believe in each other. My coaches has been amazing with doing a great job of getting us prepared for each game in each series. It's not easy losing an all-star player, a Hall of Fame player, and Chris Bosh, and trying to make something of the season. But everybody to a man has came out and done, you know, an amazing job of coming out here and playing the game of basketball the way they're supposed to within the system of our team. I give a lot of credit to Luol Deng for coming out and really elevating his game to another level and getting Joe helped. And so everything has worked for us. And, you know, we're glad to be in this situation. I wish we had that guy, you know, as we continue to play. But, you know, with the team we have, you know, it's good enough to win.
Dwayne Wade and the Miami Heat now travel to Toronto, Canada, where they'll play the Raptors Tuesday night in Game 1 of a second-round series. Meanwhile, the defending NBA champion Golden State Warriors continue to win without their injured league most valuable player, Stephen Curry. The Warriors topped the visiting Portland Trailblazers Sunday 118-106 in game one of another second-round playoff series. With Curry out with a knee sprain, Klay Thompson picked up the slack, firing in a game-high 37 points as Curry watched and cheered from the bench. And forward Draymond Green once again showed his versatility for the Warriors. He tallied his second career postseason triple-double, double figures in three different statistical categories, with 23 points, 13 rebounds, and 11 assists. Game two in that series is Tuesday night in Oakland, California, and then the series moves to Portland, Oregon for game three on Saturday night. There's talk that Steph Curry might be back on the court for game three. Well, basketball fans following the race to the NBA Finals probably know that the winning team, whoever it is, will take home the Larry O'Brien Trophy, first awarded to an NBA team in 1977. But there's another race on in U.S. professional sports, this time for a much older prize. The National Hockey League is now in the quarterfinals as the eight remaining teams compete for the Stanley Cup, first awarded in 1893 and the oldest professional sports trophy in North America. VOA's Doug Bernard joins us now. Doug, welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny, thank you so much for the warm welcome in the studio here.
Doug, I know you usually cover the cyber world for us here, but in your off hours, I understand you're quite the hockey fan.
Well, appropriate for a native son of Detroit, or Hockey Town, as we like to say. Spent most of my life, actually, in Michigan, in northern Michigan. So hockey is really something that's just sort of, it's a thing that you really grow up with. I think the brilliant thing that's happening with the sport right now is it's no longer just limited to those cold, icy northern states or Canada, but you're really seeing a global interest in the NHL. I mean, the NHL is making some very lucrative deals, actually, with South American cable firms, some in the Middle East. So there's growing interest in this sport.
We're in the quarterfinal stage of these playoffs, Doug. Let's begin with a team I know you're rooting for, the Washington Capitals. They're playing the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Boo.
Eagerly awaited quarterfinal series.
Yes.
Now, I don't know a lot about ice hockey, but I know the Caps and the Penguins feature two of the biggest stars in the sport. Talk about those players and this series.
You bet,
Doug.
They do. They were both, in 2006, they were both first-round draft picks, and there was a lot of attention because both of them really had the ingredients to become superstars. Now, you never know, as you know in any sport. You could draft somebody, and it just may not kind of come to fruition. Well, that hasn't happened here. Both Sidney Crosby for the Pittsburgh Penguins and Alexander Ovechkin for the Washington Capitals have just been forces of nature in this sport. They have very different styles of playing. Ovechkin is a Russian. You see a much more physical game from him. And when he's shooting, I mean, when he's rocketing that puck toward that net, boy, I mean, it's hard to imagine how many people could stop that. Crosby, he's Canadian. He's a little bit more of a skills player. I think perhaps maybe a little bit more broad-based skills across the range, but the NHL was really waiting for this, for something that I think they could say, we've got this big rivalry now. Excuse me. So the NHL has built it up, but really I think the fan bases of both towns have built it up. You know, Sonny, every journalist knows his blind spots. I will admit that the Capitals are a blind spot for me. I'm a huge fan, so I'm not so very inclined to say nice things about the Pens. But it's so far, it's been an interesting we're two games into it. It's tied up 1-1. And tonight, actually, the Capitals go to Pittsburgh for their first meeting up there.
Now, the Caps clearly rely on Ovechkin, Doug. What does it mean to him personally to lift that Stanley Cup?
You know, this has been something, I think it was Wayne Gretzky, the great one, who told Ovechkin recently that, you know what, this is the one thing that you need to do. He already has almost just about every other record and award. Everybody recognizes he is, if not the best player in professional hockey. We're literally having a ringside seat to watch somebody like a Gordie Howe or a Wayne Gretzky. He really wants, not only for himself and his legacy, but for his team. Now, in the past, the team has really, I think, overly relied on Ovechkin so that if anything happened, if he was slumping, if he was injured, if there that there wasn't a lot of depth in the team, and so everything would sort of unravel. And you've seen that in some playoffs past. This year, I believe, is very different. This is a team that is depth with a capital depth.
You talk about depth, Doug. Capitals defenseman Brooks Orpik has been suspended 3 games by the NHL for a high hit. How do you think his disciplinary action will affect the series and the Caps?
The Caps have said, I was just reading some interviews today during some of the practice, Caps are our players are saying, look, we think we've got the depth, you know, with players like Weber and Chorney and others. Orpik is a defenseman. He's probably one of the best in the league. That that late high hit that he took the other day, that was, I mean, I 3-game suspension seems completely okay with me. It was really a dumb thing to do. Now, you don't want to lose one of your best players, and Orpik knows the Pens, so he would have really been strategic advantage. But I think the Caps feel like there's enough that they have to rely on to fall back on that this isn't going to hurt them that much. We'll see.
Doug, who are the other 6 teams left in the playoffs, and how are they looking?
Sure, you bet. So the NHL is divided into Eastern and Western divisions. In the Western division, there are 4 teams left. Dallas is playing St. Louis. That's tied up at 1-1. St. Louis, the oldest NHL team, by the way, that's never won a cup. Be nice to see the Blues go on to that, but I really do think that Dallas is playing a little bit better. Also, you're seeing Nashville play San Jose. Neither of those teams, they're both expansion teams. Neither of them have taken a cup home, and San Jose leading that series 2-1, and I think fully expected to go on. And then, of course, the other set here in the Eastern Conference, we're seeing the Islanders play the Tampa Bay Bolts, and that is also tied up 1-1. I think that's really kind of interesting in that many people did not see the Islanders or Tampa Bay going through to this point.
Doug, how does playoff hockey, like we have right now, differ from regular season play?
You know, that's a great question, and it's a riddle that a lot of teams, including the Capitals, have wrestled with over the years. Over the years, the Caps, for example, have been this kind of classic run-and-gun team. They would, I mean, when they would unleash this barrage of scoring attempts and goals, it was just an amazing thing to see. But that's not going to win you in a playoff tournament. You really need to play. You have to be quicker. You have to play with more skill. You have to keep your opponent penned in on their side, not to get all into the lingo here, but you really need to keep them on the other side of the. You can't let them cross that blue line. You got to keep them penned up, and you have to make chances close in. You can't just be firing from off, you know, off base somewhere. So that traditionally is sort of the way that I think teams find a way to combine whatever skills they have, but to learn to play that fast defensive game.
Doug, you mentioned Orpik's hit earlier. Why does ice hockey seem to be so violent, or is that just a myth?
You mean you went to a Trump rally and a hockey game broke out? look, I mean, ice hockey is for those who've not seen it, it's amazingly fast. You've got these very large athletes with, you know, this unbelievable amount of kind of protective gear on it. And somehow they're able to move with such speed and precision and almost elegance on that ice. So you're going to have a lot of smashes. You're going to have a lot of hits. But it's also a tradition in hockey that if you're challenged, if you think somebody got away with some dirty play or something, that not only is it expected that you're going to, somebody, usually the quote-unquote goon on your team, is going to take that other person to task. Sometimes you see it right out of the gate. You know, you got us that last game, that first game at the Caps played against the Pens, just right out of the gate. They took it to him. Not only is that expected, but often you'll see the referees just standing back. They stand back and they let the players have that fight until they're all fought out.
Finally, Doug, you talk about the speed and precision of playoff hockey. Is that one of the reasons you love it so much?
Oh, gosh. You know, yes. There is nothing quite. I mean, I've been professional. I've been to soccer games or football games in Buenos Aires. I've, you know, been to a number of different sporting events. There is nothing like a professional hockey game. You're crammed into that arena. It moves so fast. It can change so fast. And when you get those rare, you know, pucks in net, the place just goes bonkers. So it's an exciting game. It's an athletic game. I love everything about it.
VOA's Doug Bernard, thanks for chatting with us, Doug.
You bet.
And stick around. Joining us once again on the Sunny Side of Sports is Andrew Palcheski, the voice of America's social media reporter. Sporty greetings, Andrew.
Sporty greetings, Sunny. Good to be with you.
Good to have you back, Andrew. What's trending in the sports world on this Monday?
Well, all those things that Doug just talked about, you know, the speed, the excitement of hockey, even some of the fights, are what drew this guy on Twitter, Tony X, to the game. Now, this past week, he was flipping through TV, and he happened upon the Blackhawks-Blues Game 7. Of course, the Blues won that series. And started just tweeting about it and saying, oh, my God, this is amazing. I've never watched hockey before in my life. And he, as you look at his tweets, kind of becomes a hockey fan in real time on social media. He's saying, you know, it's faster than baseball, which is what he usually watches. He's saying, wait a minute, there's an empty net. What's going on? You know, why did the goalies started fighting? They're on the other opposite ends of the rink. Why are they going to fight? And how have they been talking to each other? And you see this fandom develop. And in the process of this, it really attracted a lot of social media attention, kind of went viral. When he started this, he had, you know, about 1,900 or so Twitter followers. He now has over 85,000 as people have followed him. The St. Louis Blues have tweeted at him, said, you know, come on down, we're going to have you at the game. So it's really one of those ways that somebody's gone viral on social media, but you're seeing this fandom develop as well. So it's very cool. It's kind of a neat little, you know, way to look at this and a true, you know, I bet he's a very big St. Louis Blues fans now, and he's going to, you know, continue to be through the playoffs.
Doug, Andrew mentioned that empty net. Is it similar to football or soccer where a team will pull its goalie at the end of a game?
That's right. If you're behind, and this is a do-or-die game, you know, you've lost it already with maybe 2 minutes left to go. 2 minutes is usually about the break point. Some coaches push it a little bit further, but you can pull the goalie. But, of course, and so then now you've got six attackers instead of five. The thing with ice hockey, I don't know that this so much holds true for soccer, is that that puck can move so fast down from, you know, down that 200 feet down the ice that if you pull your goalie, there's no time to get him back into place in time.
So you got to really, you got to really want to pull that goalie.
You really do, and you're really risking what they call the empty netter.
Andrew, what else is trending in the sports world?
Well, speaking of soccer or football, I love these segues today. This is wonderful. Leicester City. We got to talk about Leicester City.
The Foxes.
On the verge of being ELP champions. They're set to watch Tottenham Hotspur play Chelsea today. If the Spurs lose, Leicester City wins. So the whole team is actually gathering together. I saw on social media, they're tweeting about it, saying, we're going to watch the game together as a team because if they lose, we win. Hashtag back the Blues is being used by a lot of fans. I mean, this is something that's kind of been a long time coming, I think, for them, and kind of a surprise. I think they were 5,000-1 odds to win at the start of the season.
Incredible odds.
In fact, I saw a tweet, and I don't know if this is true. There's some speculation whether this is a joke or not. Tom Hanks, the actor, said he put a $146 bet on Leicester City at the start of the season. He said if that pays out and they win, he would make $730,000. Even his publicist, they asked his publicist, they said, I have no idea if that's true or not. It may just be joking. But the other thing we're seeing a lot of is, you know, just like with Tony X and the hockey getting involved, we're seeing a lot of fans getting into the ELP, specifically with Leicester City. And a lot of people wondering how to pronounce it because it's not spelled as you would pronounce it. It's not spelled Leicester, like L-E-S-T-E-R. It's L-E-I-C-E-S-T-E-R. And I've seen some videos. The Wall Street Journal had a video on their social media where they ask people, how would you pronounce this? And then they tell them, and you get people saying Leicester, Leicester, Leicester.
But it's Leicester.
It's Leicester City, and I have no doubt that if they go home with the ELP Championship, lots of people around the world will know that it said Leicester City.
Andrew Palcheski, VOA social media reporter. Thank you, Andrew.
Thanks very much.
And thank you, Doug Bernard. And that wraps up the May 2nd edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to VOA producer Bill Werkinger, VOA engineer Keith Holmes. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
South Sudan's rebel leader Riek Machar returned to the capital Juba on Tuesday, April 26th, to be sworn in as vice president in an effort to end the civil war that has killed tens of thousands of people and forced more than 2 million from their homes. "I'm happy to be back," Machar told reporters at the airport. "The war was vicious. We have lost a lot of people in it, and we need to bring our people together so that they can unite, reconcile, heal the wounds, the mental wounds that they have. Peace is the only choice for us to relieve our people from the undeserved suffering associated with armed conflict enforced upon them," said South Sudan's President Salva Kiir following the ceremony. "I believe this is the only way to return South Sudan to the path of peace, stability, and prosperity." The conflict erupted in December 2013 after a power struggle between Kiir and Machar, his former deputy. The peace agreement, signed in August 2015, calls for a 30-month transitional period during which the Transitional Government of National Unity, comprised of representatives from the government, the opposition, the former detainees, and other political parties, will preside, leading to elections in 2018. "This is clearly an important step for South Sudan," said U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations Samantha Power. "After months of delay and obstructionism, both sides compromised to make this happen. It's the best hope that South Sudan has had in a very long time." U.S. State Department spokesman Mark Toner said, "It is important now for South Sudan's leaders to take additional steps, form the Transitional Government of National Unity, to make progress on the core agenda of the peace agreement, according to the timeline that was established by the Joint Monitoring and Evaluation Commission." The United States will continue to press South Sudan's leaders to take those steps for the good of their country and its people.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government. If you have a comment, please write to Editorials, VOA, Washington, D.C., 20237, USA. You may also comment and view all our current editorials at the VOA Editorials homepage, voanews.com/editorials.
Next on Let's Talk. Flight attendants. Can one be too old to do the job? Join host Sandy Shomari and his guests discussing flight attendants' age and duties. This lighthearted show covers topics of your interest. Let's Talk comes to you Mondays at 17:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa. Next time on Straight Talk Africa. We'll discuss Burundi's violence and security. Tune in to Straight Talk Africa next Wednesday at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, Africa. This is James Barty, host of Daybreak Africa, inviting you to join me every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC as we bring you the latest in African news, features, and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our listener mail segment by sending your comments and opinions to daybreakafrica@voanews.com. You can also call us and leave us a voicemail at 202-205-9942. That's 202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. Start your day with Daybreak Africa every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC on the Voice of America.